D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Normally, we are beginning our show at 11 o'clock, but we've been rocking and rolling since 9 a.m. We are on from 9 to noon this week. Chase and Big Joe are live at SEC Media Days in Atlanta. They will take over at noon. They will be on from noon to 3 all week long, I should say. And their coverage of SEC Media Days is sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. So, Willie, before the break, I asked the question, are the Philadelphia Phillies a bunch of babies? Now, I wrote that down knowing that your answer is probably going to be yes, because you hate the Philadelphia Phillies as a...
Hate is such a strong word, Adam.
But strongly dislike.
But you really, really, really don't like them?
They are an arch rival of the Metropolitans, my team.
You don't care for the Philadelphia
Phillies. I do not care for them.
You do not care for the Philadelphia Phillies. But multiple Phillies players ripped Major League Baseball yesterday to add former Nashville Sounds pitcher Jacob Mizorowski to the National League All-Star roster, also known as The Miz, as we keep the wrestling-adjacent things going here, also known as The Miz. And so that I don't trip over his last name, I'm going to refer to him as Miz for the rest of this segment. So Miz was a member of the Nashville Sounds a month ago. He's played in 5 major league games, and he is now a member of the National League All-Star team, replacing Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd. Now, if you recall, 1 year ago, Paul Skeens made the National League All-Star team, having appeared in just 11 games, which at the time was a major league record for the fewest career games before an All-Star selection. The Miz has knocked that record out of the park.
It's not even close.
Miz has appeared in 5 major league games, and the Phillies are pissed. Trey Turner told The Athletic, quote, "What a joke. That's effing terrible. I mean, that's terrible, dude." Nick Castellanos said, quote, "It's turning into the Savannah Bananas." That was his thought.
Now, those are strong words.
Those are strong words.
What a shot at the bananas.
Absolutely. Is it Castellanos or Castellanos?
Castellanos.
Castellanos.
Nicholas Castellanos, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Castellanos also told The Athletic, "Major League Baseball is really just focusing on the most marketable players. So the fact that they can have somebody in the game that is going to basically blow out one inning and throw 103, 104, they're going to get more eyeballs on baseball. They're going to think it's getting more popular." Trey Turner said, "It's not the All-Star game in the sense that the best players go there or people who have had the best season. It's whoever sells the most tickets or has been put on social media the most. That's essentially what it's turned into." So let me ask you that question again, Willie Donick. Are the Philadelphia Phillies a bunch of big babies, or are you siding with your favorite team's arch rivals in this conversation?
I do have a very, very big problem with Mizorowski making the All-Star team. You cannot make the All-Star team in 5 games. That is a joke. It is a joke. I agree 100% with Trey Turner. 5 games and you're an All-Star? That makes no sense, because it's not like just the Phillies pitchers would have been sensible replacements. There's pitchers all over the National League that would be more worthy of a guy who pitched 5 games. Skeens isn't even a good comparison. 11 games, 11 starts is way, way different than 5. And Mizorowski, he had to leave one of his starts, his first start, early due to injury. One of the starts, he got beat by the Mets, didn't pitch very much, gave up a couple of home runs, including a grand slam. So it's not like he's got 5 lights-out starts and he's 5-0, like Fernando Valenzuela was, you know, coming out of the gates in 1981. This is so mystifying. It's not his fault, right? So we shouldn't blame him for the backlash. It's not his fault that they named him to the All-Star team. But five games is absurd. So I agree with the Phillies there. Now, here's the problem I have with the Phillies. And I think Turner, Castellanos, Schwarber, they're stepping up there for their teammates. They want their teammates to know that they've got their back. And the Phillies are a good team, and usually good teams have more than one All-Star. So, but there are circumstances. One of the big issues that the All-Star game deals with is pitchers who pitch on Saturday or Sunday, and they tell everybody they want their cake and eat it too. They want to be on the team, and they want to be considered an All-Star. They want to get the fanfare for being named an All-Star, but they say, oh, I can't pitch in the game. I can't pitch one inning in the game. This is a big problem that back in the day, and here I'm the old guy now, back in the day, you didn't hear that very much. You might on occasion say, oh boy, I'm okay if my guy doesn't pitch. But for a long time, it was just understood. If you pitch Friday or Saturday, it didn't matter. You get a chance to pitch in the All-Star game, you're going to pitch. Very few pitchers even asked to pitch more than an inning now. So I don't get that. But Zach Wheeler, who easily would have been an All-Star, declined because he didn't want to mess up his rhythm. Christopher Sanchez is another guy that this is where it got dicey. He pitched yesterday, and so he wasn't named. What the Phillies wanted was for him to be named so that he could then acknowledge, I'm an All-Star, get the bonus in his contract, and then say, I pitched Sunday so I can't pitch on Tuesday, and then name whoever you want.
How many times have you been invited to a party or a wedding and you know that you're not going to go, but you just want to be invited?
You want to be invited.
You want to be invited. You want the gesture of being invited to the party, to the wedding, even though you have no intention of going.
Right.
But it makes you feel better knowing that, hey, at least I was invited. I can't go.
Thanks for thinking of me.
But thank you for thinking of me.
The wedding is in Aruba. I can't make it.
Can't make it too far.
But I want to be
as
invited.
Larry David would say.
Yeah.
Can't make it too far.
Too far. I think that's part of what's at issue here. So the Phillies are getting the blame and the shade for squawking. And so part of me, the old school part of me is like, well, if you really want it that bad, just say you'll pitch on Tuesday and figure it out. Go. But I completely agree with them. Five games for an All-Star, there is no way that should ever happen.
Does that make you feel dirty as a Mets fan to say, I agree with the Phillies?
Stepping up and defending the Phillies, yes, it is a little strange.
You'll have to take a shower as soon as the show is
over. How do you feel about it? Do you think they're sound like babies?
I am more of a casual baseball fan than you are. So I think it depends on how much of a baseball fan you are. And Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, who also broadcasts on Fox Sports, wrote a column for The Athletic about the decision to have Mizorowski in the game. And he writes this, quote, "But give the league credit for this much. From a promotional standpoint, Mizorowski was a perfectly logical selection. With apologies to NL pitchers who still might feel snubbed, San Francisco Giants reliever Tyler Rogers, perhaps most notably, they won't grab the casual fan the same way the Miz can. I see both sides of the debate. Mizorowski, baseball's latest sensation, will attract viewers no small consideration for the league and one of my employers, Fox Sports. On the other hand, five starts? How far are we going to lower the bar? Does next year's number one pick get drafted on Sunday and play in the game on Tuesday, especially if he has a surname suited for social media marketing? Paul Skeens had 11 starts when he started last year's game. His debut was on May 11th. His ERA at the break was 1.9. Mizorowski's debut was on June 12th. It seems like he just came out of the womb.
He
and
did.
His ERA is nearly a run higher than Skeens. Yeah,
so it's ridiculous. Now, he is a physical freak, and he is
a
very, very talented. Yes. And so he will turn heads, but nobody knows who he is. I think he doesn't deserve it. I think if you polled all of the baseball people and say, should he be in the All-Star game, I think overwhelmingly people would say no. Even Mizorowski himself might vote, no. Like, he's got to feel weird being there and not just part of a circus act, because he is very talented. I hope it doesn't jinx him down the road is what I would worry about, right? Is like there's the guy that made the All-Star team after five starts. If he were to flop in the second half or regress, you'd hear that a lot. Oh, some All-Star, something like that. But where I think baseball has not, thank God for one thing, they are wearing their uniforms in the game, which was a huge mistake, bigger than they realized. The dumb uniforms they were wearing the last few years, they were awful uniforms, and they made everybody look the same. I love the contrast. You could tell what team everybody plays for. You're looking for the star. Where's Mike Trout? Where is Derek Jeter? You see the uniform, and you know. They're going back to that. But the All-Star game, as much as you want to reward players who have had a great first half of a season, you still need the best players in the game as much as you can. And the pitcher thing is messes it up sometimes because the pitchers themselves are the ones saying, I can't be there because I pitched on Saturday or Sunday. I think they've got to suck it up and find a way to throw an inning, even though we know pitcher injuries are such the center. It can screw up everybody's season. So I can see both sides of the argument. But Juan Soto is one that's getting a lot of talk in New York. Juan Soto got off to a little bit of a slow start, so he didn't get the vote. And somehow he wasn't voted onto the team. But his numbers, number one, he's a huge megastar. And he's having a really good year. It's just not maybe his best year. But he should be in the All-Star game. You want Juan Soto in that game. And he's not there.
How much of it is Mizorowski is readily available? Because you often see this in other sports. Of course, I'm most familiar with the NHL All-Star game because that's the league I cover on a regular basis. But oftentimes players will be called up to the All-Star game because everybody else is on vacation and that player is the only one who can get to wherever the All-Star game is the next day. So how much of that was in consideration here? To your point about the Phillies pitchers, Suarez said last week that Major League Baseball invited him to the All-Star game on the condition that he would be available to pitch. The left-hander said he declined, citing his desire to rest, and MLB therefore opted against naming him an All-Star. So I don't know if it's just, hey, Jacob Mizorowski, he's young, he doesn't have any plans, we can get him up here really quickly. How much of that factors into it? Because there have been so many NHL All-Stars who were not NHL All-Stars in production, but they weren't on vacation that week, and they could get on a plane and get to Nashville for the All-Star game much quicker than somebody who's in the Caribbean taking a week off.
I think, once again, it centers around the availability of the pitcher. Mizorowski is a unique guy who will stand out on the field because of he's like 6'6 or 6'7. And he throws over 100 miles an hour. He is fun to watch. But I think you cannot override the fact that it will be perceived that he has not earned this the right way, and it will be held against him, and it's not his fault. But I agree. The availability, I don't know if it's proximity to Atlanta or anything like that, but I think you could have found a better pitcher. And the other thing I struggle with, too, and that's how the game has evolved. You used to have two types of pitchers on the All-Star pitching staff. The ace starting pitcher and the closer. And there was no in-between. Now, and Ken Rosenthal mentioned one of the guys that's had a great year, but he's a middle reliever. Tyler Rogers. And last year, I think the Phillies had two or three of these guys make the team. I don't think people go to the All-Star game wanting to see the middle reliever, even though that's a very important spot now because pitchers don't go deep into the games. And those guys who consistently are giving you an inning or two every other day to get you from the starter to the closer are essential to winning a World Series. But those guys aren't stars. They're not. Nobody wants to see Tyler Rogers pitch. That's where, if it's him or Mizorowski, I could see the marketing guy say, well, let's get Mizorowski. But they have crossed the line in qualifications for a guy that's pitched five games. There's got to be other guys, but I'm sure they got into a pinch because Wheeler, Sanchez, who are two guys that absolutely fit the bill as all-stars for a good team in the Phillies, they basically said, I can't pitch in the game on Tuesday.
And the other question is, have all-star games lost their luster?
Yes.
In the sense that in the NFL, being named a Pro Bowler today means nothing compared to what being a Pro Bowler used to be. Do athletes care about the distinction of being an all-star the same way they used to in a different era?
I think they care. I think a baseball player wants to be able to say when his career is over, 10-time all-star, 5-time all-star, 2-time all-star. You know, there's a lot of 1-time all-stars. But every year you make it is a notch on your belt. They want that distinction. And I still think the baseball all-star game is the one all-star game that still has a chance to matter, but they've lost a lot of the luster because of some of these things that are in their control. The popularity of the game itself is still waning, right? They've got an older fan base, et cetera. The attendance is great. The worldwide popularity of the sport is growing internationally. They're financially on solid ground. The labor piece is there. You can't use that as an excuse. If you're still walking around going, well, I'll never watch another baseball game. Since the strike in 1994, I haven't watched a single baseball game. There's still a small group of those people out there. But I think the product is really good. But the All-Star game could be better. It's not. I come away so disappointed because I'm one of those guys. Give me the All-Star game over the Home Run Derby anytime. I don't like the Home Run Derby. I don't. And my son is driving to the Home Run Derby tonight with a buddy of his. He wants to go. It's in Atlanta. I would not do that. I would drive and go see the All-Star game under the right circumstances. I love watching the All-Star game. But so many years, I'm like, it's not a great game. I want to see a great All-Star game with the best players in the game. And am I old school? Yeah, but it used to be a bigger thing. And the way baseball is played, you can play a real baseball game. You can't play a real hockey game for an All-Star game. You can't play a real football game for the Pro Bowl. I don't know why. They used to play a real basketball game. They choose not to do that. It's not real basketball.
Not really a real basketball game.
You still can play a real baseball game. And they do. It just hasn't had a great, there's something missing from the All-Star game. It didn't used to be like that.
Quickly, I thought this was interesting. So Mizorowski's selection comes a year after the Pittsburgh Pirates' Paul Skeens made history by earning All-Star honors 11 games into his MLB career. Before Skeens, 3 players reached an All-Star selection after 13 games. Do you happen to know any of those 3 players?
After 13 games?
After 13 games.
Before Skeens.
Before Skeens.
So there's 3 in addition to Skeens?
Yes.
So Fernando.
No.
Valenzuela?
No.
No? Dwight Gooden?
No.
13 games?
Yes. According to CNN, of all places, before Skeens, 3 players reached All-Star selection after 13 games. Is it Mark Fidrich?
The Bird. Mark Fidrich, yeah, 76.
Mark Fidrich in 1976.
I should have gotten him.
Hideo Nomo in 1995.
Okay.
Dontrell Willis in 2003.
Wow. So the other guys I mentioned were also rookie sensations. So all 3 of those guys fit that bill. Although Nomo came over from Japan. He was Ichiro before Ichiro.
Yes.
So they only had 13 games. I bet you Gooden and the other guys had just slightly more. Fidrich only had 13 games by the All-Star break?
According to CNN.
Interesting.
615-737-1025. Are the Philadelphia Phillies a bunch of babies for ripping Major League Baseball for adding Jacob Mizorowski to the All-Star roster? A member of the Nashville Sounds just 1 month ago. Now headed to the MLB All-Star Game. Fair or foul? See what I did there? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and more. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Diego Pavia at SEC Media Days. Looks like he's wearing a tuxedo. And a black bow tie on.
Looking sharp.
Didn't see if there was a cummerbund. How often have you worn a cummerbund in your life?
More than once. probably less than 15.
It seems like a rather useless accessory.
Especially if you go with the suspenders.
I can say I've never worn suspenders.
Never?
No.
Or the... Yeah, I agree. It's kind of... You know, the vest. If you go with the vest, you probably don't need the cummerbund, right?
Yeah, that's overkill. But Diego Pavia, looking sharp.
Is he going with the cummerbund?
I did not see a cummerbund, okay. But he was wearing what looked like a tuxedo. He did have a black bow tie on. So Diego Pavia...
He had also like a chain around the front of outside of his shirt with the suit.
Can't wait to hear what Diego Pavia has to say Vanderbilt Day at SEC Media Days. Once again, our coverage of SEC Media Days is being sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout in Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Chase and Big Joe there all week, broadcasting from noon to 3. Clark Lee will join the program at 12:30. We are expected to be joined by Martell Height in the final segment of the program, talking baseball. And Jacob Mizorowski being named to the National League All-Star Game after just 5 career starts, recalled from the Nashville Sounds only about a month ago. Jason in Clarksville says 5 starts is a joke. As a Braves fan, I can see some arguing Acuna shouldn't have made it, even though he has been on a tear and has a body of work to fall back on. Tyler, one texter says, Tyler Rogers throws submarine at an elite level. I'd rather see that, LOL.
He does throw submarine. That's about it. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and he's been throwing submarine. He's just not an all-star. And that's tough for those guys, because if that were my buddy, I would say, yeah, you should be on the all-star team. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. But I think there's a balance you have to strike. Another trick is to try to get somebody from every team in there, and that's, with each passing year, sometimes difficult to do. I used to be of that ilk of, yes, every team should have a representative, but do the Rockies really deserve to have an all-star? Like, should there be a minimum standard, right? You have to have a guy that has credentials to be an all-star. Somewhere in here, I think they're off in the balance of getting the greatest players in the game on the field and featured.
If I am a casual sports fan or a casual baseball fan, and I hear, hey, there's this 6'7" freak who can throw 102, 103 miles per hour, and he's going to pitch in the All-Star game, I may be more inclined to tune in. So I understand from, as Ken Rosenthal, look, he broadcasts the game as part of Fox Sports. He writes for The Athletic as well. He understands that it's a business. And Jacob Mizorowski probably gets more people like me who don't watch baseball on a daily basis to turn on the TV to watch the All-Star game to see, again, this athletic freak versus Tyler Rogers, who may be more deserving of an All-Star nomination, but doesn't move the needle the same way a 23-year-old flamethrower does.
It's a dilemma because, unfortunately, with the pitchers themselves, there's too many pitchers that are all-star caliber that are crossed off the list because of injury or they pitched Saturday or Sunday. That does create this dilemma, and the guys a lot of times who are most readily available are the Tyler Rogers guys who are pitching 2 of every 4 days anyway. So they can pitch Sunday and pitch Tuesday. It's no problem. So that's who's available. And I have to say, I would probably rather watch Mizorowski than Tyler Rogers. But Tyler Rogers is more deserving than Mizorowski. If Mizorowski had pitched 8 or 9, I could see it. 5 is too little. 5 is too little.
And again, I know that I am comparing sports here, and it's not a perfect comparison, but our friend Derek Mason did appear in 2 Pro Bowls. He was named to 2 Pro Bowls in his career. Derek Mason being named to 2 Pro Bowls in the 90s and 2000s is different than a player being named to the Pro Bowl this year, this past season, because the Pro Bowl has taken on a different meaning. Like, I don't hold up this person is a five-time Pro Bowler, the same way I would have 10, 15, 20 years ago. But as you said, baseball, it's a little bit different. I'm just wondering if All-Star games in general, they don't hold the same meaning as they once did.
They've lost a huge chunk of casual fans who, in the summer, when there's not football, this is the thing that baseball has not taken advantage of as much as they should, and they used to. In the summer, in the middle of the sports calendar, when there's not anything going on, this is where baseball should take center stage. And they've lost a lot of chunks of fans. Like you would fall into the category of casual baseball fan. True?
Yes.
They're always going to have people like me. They're stuck with me. I love the game too much, even if the game stinks. Where it was a couple years ago, where there was an all-time low of action. Too many strikeouts and walks. Too many long games. They fixed a lot of that. The product is way, way better. I would be excited to reboot the game to fans like you and say, look at our game. We fixed this stuff. We took the shifts out. There's not as much weird things going on that you didn't see when you were a kid. Stolen bases back, extra base hits, athleticism, it's there. But they haven't captured it. They haven't captured the casual fan back.
One texter says, isn't the pitching dilemma similar to the Pro Bowl in that a bunch of guys were opting out? I was under the impression that they now select players they know will attend.
Yes, that's a big part of it. That's a big part. That's Zach Wheeler. That's why the Phillies were talking out of both sides of their mouth, because they wanted to put those guys on the All-Star team.
But those guys did not want to go.
They didn't want to go. They wanted to be named to the All-Star team so that they could then say, I'm not going, a la getting invited to the wedding.
Exactly. We've all been there.
With no intention of going to the wedding. But you want to be invited so you can say, sorry, I can't come.
It's an acknowledgement. You want the acknowledgement. I've been invited to the wedding. I have no intention of going, but you were thinking of me. I was important enough to be on your guest list. However, I will not attend. That's basically what was happening with the Philadelphia Phillies. Caleb on our text line, a Titans note. Titans need to trade for Juwan Jennings today after that report just came out. So it has been reported by multiple outlets that San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Juwan Jennings, who happened to attend which university, Willie Donick?
Juwan Jennings attended the University of Tennessee.
He sure did. He is
Ravenwood High School.
He wants a new contract.
Blackman High School.
Oh, sorry. What was it? Blackman.
Blackman High School, yep.
Blackman High School, my bad.
He wants a new contract.
Sorry to the Ravens and the Blackman Blaze, if you will.
Juwan Jennings.
Both newer high schools that I get
exactly.
confused.
Exactly. They're the new
new-ish.
Ones. Yeah.
Juwan Jennings wants a new contract or a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. He is slated to count roughly $4.3 million against the cap in the final year of a two-year $15.39 million extension he signed last offseason. He is not expected to be a training camp holdout, but he is not expected to be happy either, as the 49ers saw last summer with Brandon Ayuk. Jennings is coming off an NFL best season, career highs with 77 receptions, 975 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Okay, let me ask you this. We had Teron on.
We did.
I figured we would get a text like this.
Yes.
Were you a little surprised that Teron underplayed Jennings? Basically, Teron's take was that Jennings is
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine,
a good receiver, but a role player that is much more replaceable, that isn't worth giving up an asset to get. I lean his way, but I was a little surprised.
I was too. I don't know what Jennings's value is. Like, I can't put a figure on what it would take to acquire him.
He basically said he has benefited from the system that the 49ers run. He's a good fit. But if you take him outside of that and expect him to be more than he is, and many teams have made this mistake before with wide receivers, right? Thinking that they're going to have the same stats for your team and you're paying him more than his old team. And this is where I think it'll be interesting to see what Westbrook-Ikhine looks like on a new team.
The Predators had this experience. It was called the Brady Shea conundrum this past season.
Oh. And that was with higher stakes for a guy that had done – Brady Shea had done a lot more than Juwan Jennings or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
But your point about taking a player who was successful in a specific system the Carolina Hurricanes run a specific defensive system that is unique in the NHL. And the wonder was, Brady Shea is going to cash in because he played well in this system. How is he going to do in a different system? And the answer last season was not so good.
Not so good, especially at the beginning of the season.
Right. So I think that's what Teron's point was about Juwan Jennings. He looked good playing under Kyle Shanahan. Would he look the same playing under Brian Callahan?
And he also caught a lot of passes last year, more than he had, partially because of opportunity. And to his credit, he stepped into that role and got and earned those catches. But 77 catches for 900 and some yards in a 17-game season, let's not mistake that for a great year. And the 49ers did not have a great year, but they had injury issues, right? Ayuk, Samuel, they had all – McCaffrey wasn't there. Somebody had to catch some passes somewhere.
George Kittle usually misses games. I don't know how
I'm
many games he
missed last
season. I'm trying
to find the efficiency ratings. It takes me longer to do this right now. I've got them here. I will tell you where Jennings ranked in the efficiency because we still are programmed, as we should be. We'll always be like this because they do matter. The number of catches and the number of yards. It doesn't always mean you had the most efficient way of getting those. It certainly didn't equate to a lot of wins. But Jennings is don't get me wrong, he's a very good player. But if he's on the street and you don't have to give anything up to get him, that's a different question than he wants to be traded. You've got to trade the 49ers something to get him. The 49ers don't have to trade him. They're like, hey, I kind of like Jennings for the price he is for one more year. Sorry, Juwan, here's what we can do, but otherwise, if you don't like that, you've got to stay here. We're not trading you.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Phillies being a bunch of crybabies. Jacob Mizorowski, proud member, former member of the Nashville Sounds, making the Major League Baseball All-Star game after just five career starts. Juwan Jennings, it's all on the table.
Yeah.
615.
And Jennings, I'm looking at the numbers that I like to look at from Aaron Schatz and the FTN Fantasy.
Yes.
Used to be Football Outsiders. He was fairly efficient. It was a good year for Juwan Jennings. It wasn't just some empty calories. Sometimes you have guys who have numbers but not very efficient. He was 8.5% above average for a team that wasn't great. So that tells me that in the context of games, he had a good year. But what would you trade? Sixth-round pick? Seventh-round pick?
Yeah.
Fifth-round pick?
I have a hard time coming
And then you've
up.
Got to pay him. Then you've got to pay him more because that's the reason he wants to be traded.
Yes.
He wants a new deal. The cap is going up. What would you spend on him?
That's a good question. Maybe I'll do that research for tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
615-737-1025. We will wrap up the show next. We are expected to be joined by Vanderbilt defensive back Martell Height live from Atlanta. SEC Media Days. Chase and Big Joe are there. They come on the air at noon. Our SEC Media Days coverage is sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here. We will soon be joined by Martell Height, Vanderbilt defensive back, live from Atlanta at SEC Media Days. Remember, Chase and Big Joe coming up at noon to 3 all week, live from SEC Media Days. Our coverage is sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. As we await Martell Height, a couple of texts about Juwan Jennings. Andrew says, our wide receiver room looks just fine without giving away a draft pick for Jennings. Stop wasting mid-round picks. One texter said, we call him third and one because he's so clutch. Super Bowl MVP if the Niners had won. Caleb, who
right.
floated.
And so was another guy that I think he was a Super Bowl MVP. Was David Givens? If he wasn't the MVP, he had a great Super Bowl for the Patriots and then signed with the Titans, and it didn't go well.
Caleb, who presented this to us, said, perfect fit for the Titans. High motor, catches everything, elite blocker, won't be expensive. He's 100% worth a fifth or sixth round pick. Even if you still draft a wide receiver high next draft, you would have three solid guys, plus whatever these rookies do this year, puts that room in much better shape moving forward.
He is, I think, a great role player. He only played 15 games last year, so Yeah, I mean, his numbers were pretty solid, probably even better than I gave him credit for. But I think we have to remember, the giving up the mid-round pick, even like a fifth or a sixth, sounds good. The real question, though, is what are you paying him for his next contract? Because he is setting himself up, I think, to be pretty – he's going to get a good raise. So how much of a raise? Right now, he's a great underpaid or correctly paid role player. Do you want him to be an overpaid role player or an overpaid guy that you're expecting to be a main guy? That would be the question for me. And I'm not saying you wouldn't do it under the right circumstances, but at this stage of where the Titans roster is, would he be the right guy?
And there are a lot of question marks about the Titans wide receivers. Calvin Ridley at number one. Who's going to take that number two slot? Is it going to be Tyler Lockett? Is it going to be Van Jefferson? Are one of those rookies, DK or Iomanner, going to step up and take that number two role? I remember we played all the time because we've clipped it. You said, I don't know why so many wide receivers weren't busting down Mike Borgonzi's door. This is the land of opportunity. Those were your words when it came to the Titans wide receiver group.
And it would be less of the land of opportunity. If they didn't have Lockett and or Jefferson, and Jefferson did play at Ravenwood, right? I got that right. Maybe there'd be more space that you could have a guy like Jennings and still leave space for some of these wide receivers that you hope you find somebody that emerges from the pack. Like you want to leave space for the rookies to be able to play some. You got to have a chance for one of those guys to shine, because you're not unless you make a big investment in a guy like Jennings. Then I think the impact is going to be minimal for the amount of money you're going
to
pay.
Let's go to Atlanta Live, I should say, at SEC Media Days, where we are joined by Vanderbilt defensive back Martell Hite. Martell, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So the news of the day for Vanderbilt, I know that you took some snaps at wide receiver in the spring. Coach Lee said you will play some wide receiver for the Commodores this fall. If I'm not mistaken, you played both ways in high school. How involved do you expect to be in the Commodores offense this season?
Well, you know, I hope to just be able to produce on both ways, you know, and just get thrown in there when they need me. But, you know, we have great guys at receiver. We got Trent Hudson, Junior Sherrill, Tristan Brown. You know, those guys are great and excellent athletes, you know. But I'm just the extra part of the receiver room.
So Diego Pavia is with you at SEC Media Days. Willie and I were discussing earlier in our show about how motivated Pavia will be this season to prove that last season was not just a flash in the pan. Knowing him as you do, how would you describe his mindset entering this season?
Well, everybody knows this, man. That guy there is he's a dog, you know, and he got that chip on his shoulder. So just, you know, that's just Diego being Diego. He's gonna take last season and just carry on and build from that. And, you know, he's going to go out there and do his thing.
I want to ask you about a change on defense. Clark Lee, of course, called plays on the defense last season. He's given those responsibilities to Steve Gregory, who he promoted to defensive coordinator. The defense took a big step forward in many different ways last season. But how has the change been from Coach Lee to Coach Gregory in terms of running the defense?
I wouldn't even necessarily say it's a change. You know, they're all up under the same wing. It's the same exact message, just, you know, different voice. And Coach Lee got everybody on the same page, so it's really no difference, you know, just hearing a different voice in the room. But this is going great.
We're talking to Martell Hite, defensive back for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Was second team All-SEC last year as a return specialist. He plays some defensive back. He's going to sprinkle in some time as well at wide receiver, a very important player for the Doors. And Martell, you as one of the leaders of the team now that's been there for a while, you guys experienced the great turnaround last year. What is the collective message that you're taking with you, knowing how hard it is even to repeat what you did last year, but build on it. You're not going to sneak up on anybody this year.
Right. So the message is, our mission is winning. So we're going to continue to just, you know, do the little small things to improve on winning. And then we're just going to stick to our covenants, you know, true brotherhood, pride in everything we do, earn it every day, recycle positive energy, you know, player-to-player accountability. We're going to stick to those things and just build from that.
How satisfying was it for you last year to see the jump that you guys made after going through what you went through as a freshman?
Yeah, like, so my freshman year we went 2-10. It was not a great feeling, you know. But, you know, bouncing back, believing in Coach Lee, believing in the team, you know, and doing the little small things that we needed to do to, you know, improve from that 2-10 season. It was great, you know. It was like warm home, you know. It was I don't even know how to really explain it, man. It was exciting though, you know, just being able to go out there and prove that we are better and we are going to keep improving.
I thought about players like you a lot as I was watching last year. I didn't play football. I played other sports at Vanderbilt, but I followed closely. But the satisfaction of watching you, guys like Junior Sherrill, Cedric Alexander, the guys, because you saw it. In this day and age of college football and college athletics, some people leave when a program is struggling. And you saw some of your classmates leave after your freshman year. I admired you guys who stuck with it, and because I think doubly it had to be satisfying for that group.
Right. Yeah, man. You know, once you build that connection with your head coach and players, I mean, it's kind of hard to really let it go unless it's fake, you know. And nothing from Coach Lee and that program who puts their 110% in is fake. It's all love. It's all real. And so just being able to believe in a guy like Coach Lee, you know, you can't do nothing but stay in the fight with him, you know, and build from that.
So what's it like when you get this new group? Because every team now, you're not only welcoming incoming freshmen, like you were once upon a time on campus, but you're welcoming another group that's coming in from other programs. How do you, as a guy that's been there longer than a lot of them, help acclimate everybody? What's that process like?
So, you know, Coach Lee and other players kind of like hit on it before I can even really like get to them. And like everybody picks up on the mission really, really well. So, I mean, just, you know, just consistently talking to people that, you know, like having our little brotherhood moments where, like, we go golfing, we go bowling, we go out to eat, you know, just keep harping on our mission, which is winning. I think everybody's, like, aligning really, really well with what we're needing to do for this season.
All right, leave us with this. I know at a certain point it'll be part of the past and you're focused ahead because there's a rematch with Alabama this year, which a lot of people will be watching, and all of the teams that you had success against last year will get their shot. But the satisfaction of beating Alabama, number one, that's something I'm sure you'll remember for life. What was the most fun part of the aftermath of celebrating that win for you?
All right, so once our horn blew and the cannons went off, you know, we had the video board playing. But, like, it was, like, as soon as it blew, just looking around the stadium and seeing, like, all of those fans, like, rush the field. Like, even Bama fans, like, low-key kind of traded their own team and, like, came to the field and was, like, celebrating with us. But, man, like, just seeing those people get the goalposts and walk it that far from the stadium through downtown into the river was probably the best thing ever.
So you didn't walk with the people, but you were following.
I didn't even follow. I just, you know, I was at home. I had just showered. I'm on a video game, and I looked down at my phone and, like, Twitter's blowing up, and it's just a video of them walking the goalposts down through downtown.
Vanderbilt defensive back Martell Hite joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick live from SEC Media Days in Atlanta. Martell, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the festivities, and good luck at the start of the season.
Hey, thank y'all.
Of course. That'll do it for us today. We will be back on, again, 9 a.m. to noon tomorrow through Friday. Chase and Big Joe will be anchoring our coverage live from SEC Media Days, sponsored by Brewhouse South. They will take it from here. They will have Diego Pavia and Clark Lee on the program today. Clark Lee at 12:30. Don't know the exact time for Diego Pavia, but Chase will tell you in just a couple of minutes. But Jason Big Joe coming up next on behalf of Derek. Be loved. Love on your people. Have a wonderful start to your week. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Peace.